We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you.
And we've been praying in the upper room, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. all week. And we've been praying under this banner, under this heading, As It Is in Heaven. And we've been taking the five components of the Lord's Prayer and making that an emphasis, especially in the evening prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13 is the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, and we read, And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, this is the fifth of the five components of the Lord's Prayer. Later, the church added the doxology, and you'll find that maybe in King James Version, maybe New King James Version, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It wasn't in Matthew's original text, but it was added later. We like it. It is scripture. It's taken from 1 Chronicles 29, and that's a nice way to sum up that prayer. But as far as the actual components of prayer that Jesus gave us, the fifth component is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we pray this way. We pray that God would not allow us to be led into the way of trouble and trial and tribulation and temptation. We especially like to pray that at the beginning of the day, but we pray it throughout the day, but especially at the beginning of the day, because our whole day lies before us. And what we're doing is we are acknowledging God in all of our ways and asking that He would ordain our steps, that He would make the path clear for us. Because do you understand that a lot of the time, not all the time, in this world you will have tribulation, but a lot of the time, trial, trouble, tribulation, temptation can be avoided. And don't you prefer it when it's like that? Come on now. And so we pray and we ask God to lead us not in the way of temptation, but to lead us a different way. But tonight what I really want to do is I want to focus on the second part of this couplet. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And so that's the subject, that's the theme. This is sort of a message, but I'm going to keep it short because I want to have time for prayer. But the title of it is Deliver Us from Evil. Now, if you want to get picky about it, if you want to be very, very precise, if you look at the Greek text there that Matthew records for us, what it actually says is deliver us from the evil. The definite article, T-H-E in English, is in there. So it's we usually say when we pray the prayer, we've become accustomed to it, we pray, deliver us from evil. But the article is in there. Deliver us from the evil. And thus, maybe the implication is the evil one. And then you have people, some translations will add that, the evil one. Now, the one isn't actually in the text, but the is. Well, the point is, deliver us from the evil does sound a bit different than deliver us from evil, right? How many of you agree that strikes you a bit different? And I think the implication here is we are not just praying to be delivered from a vague nebulous evil, the idea that there is the possibility of bad things, that is evil in the world. It's more specific than that. There is a definite, specific, identifiable evil in the world. Satan. Demons. The devil, evil spirits, that sort of thing. Now, I want to say something rather clear and pointed on that. We probably pretend that we know more about Satan and demons than we actually do. The Bible is not prone to go into a lot of detail about their origin, what they are, where they come from. Nearly all the Bible has to say about demons is in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, a little bit in John, and scattered around. But I mean, it wouldn't hardly fill up a cup, the rest of the Bible talking about demons. It's in the ministry of Jesus where it is prolific, where Jesus is setting people free from these evil spirits that are wrecking people's lives. And then we pick up a lot of things from, who knows, from Dante and Hollywood and popular culture and that old movie The Exorcist, and it just comes into us through popular culture, and we often pretend that we know far more than we do. Suffice it to say that there is an evil in the world that is distinct from human actions. Okay, now we understand that human beings can do evil things, right? But there is an evil that is distinct from what we do. And Jesus teaches us to pray that we would be delivered from that. Now, here's what I know for sure about the demonic, and it's basically all you need to know. The demonic is anti-human and anti-Christ. Whatever the origin of these entities and how they are comprised and in what form they exist, what you really need to know about them is they are anti-human and they are anti-Christ. Demons harm people and they oppose Christ. And again, that is what we see clearly depicted in the Gospels. That as Jesus is casting out demons, he is setting people free from things in their life that have been terribly harmful. And these demons also, to a certain extent, attempt to oppose Christ, although that's never successful. They will interrupt him or cry out, or they're very disturbed by his presence, and they are opposed to him, but they cannot resist his power. All right, so that's what you need to know. Here's an axiom that is very valuable for you to learn. Whatever is anti-human is anti-Christ. Now, we learn this from the incarnation. Because of God in Christ joining the human race, what is happening is, and listen carefully, God is affirming all that is genuinely human. God is not trying to take you away from your humanity. He's trying to heal your humanity. The ancient Platonists and dualists and Gnostics, their whole thing was, I just can't wait to quit being a human, actually. Just to escape this prison of a body and go off and be a pure spirit somewhere. Well, the incarnation is exactly opposite. In fact, it was the early seeds of that kind of thinking that the Apostle John coins the phrase Antichrist for. Okay, the word Antichrist, by the way, you'll never find it in the book of Revelation. It's not in the book of Revelation. You'll spend all night looking for it in the book of Revelation because it's not there. It's in John's epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And John coins that phrase to describe the false teaching that was just beginning to emerge towards the end of the first century, that what Christianity was really about was escaping your human nature. And that what we really want to do is we want to, as soon as we can, be free from the prison of this earthly body and go off and be a pure, undefiled spirit. Now, and then in so doing, in teaching that false doctrine, they also taught that Jesus Christ did not really come in the flesh. And that's why you have John using language like, whoever denies that Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. The teaching that we gain from the incarnation is just the opposite of that. God is not trying to take us away from our humanity. He's trying to restore our humanity, heal our humanity. And whatever is anti-human is anti-Christ. You can go right down the list. Disease is anti-human. And so Jesus comes as a healer, and he's regularly healing multitudes because disease is not what God intends for the human race. It's anti-human. It's anti-Christ. Poverty is anti-human. It destroys human dignity. It's anti-Christ. Addiction is anti-human because it turns human beings into slaves and destroys the quality of human life. It's anti-human. It's anti-Christ. Pornography is anti-human because it teaches us to view people as things, as objects for our own gratification, and we fail to see the image of God in them. Anti-human, it's anti-Christ. Abortion is anti-human at the most basic level. The destruction of a human life before it really gets a chance to flourish, it's anti-Christ. Suicide is, in one sense, an ultimate expression of that which is anti-human. Greed. You know, the reason we have the Friday fast is that the false religion of consumerism, which is the religion of our age, which continues to tell very cleverly that greed really is some way to fulfillment and meaning and purpose and happiness, that false religion is all around us. And so on Fridays, during the daytime, we fast to remind ourselves that we don't live by bread alone. That we cannot build a meaningful life by following the path of wanton consumption. And then, as you know, we take the money that we save, we put it in those boxes, Project 58, and we use it to help the needy within our own congregation and city. Say hallelujah to that. Okay, but the point is greed, consumerism, materialism, all of that is anti-human, it's anti-Christ. We could talk about violence, murder, war, all of it anti-human, anti-Christ. Kurt Vonnegut, which is strange that I would quote him, but I'll quote whoever says something that's worth repeating and has truth. He said this, "We are healthy only to the extent that our ideas are humane." That's worth remembering. We are healthy only to the extent that our ideas are humane. Does that speak to anybody? We are healthy only to the extent that our ideas are humane. Most of the demonic enters our lives through inhumane ideas, attitudes, and practices. The demonic spirit is the anti-human spirit. It is the very antithesis of what it means to be human. That if you follow the demon spirit, it will destroy, rob, diminish, steal, kill, destroy your humanity. The demon spirit is radically anti-human, and of course, thus, it is also radically anti-Holy Spirit. Now, where these ideas and attitudes and practices and spirits of inhumanity take hold, there is a profound sickness of the soul. And the soul not being necessarily to be thought of as the non-material part of a human, but rather it is the synthesis of the spirit and the physical. God formed man out of the dust of the earth, right? And he breathed in him the breath of life. So you get the physical, corporeal being from the dust of the earth. You get the breathing of God's spirit. And then man becomes a living soul. Hebrew nephesh. But when we begin to move away from all that it means to be humane and human and begin to adopt these ideas and thoughts, practices, and attitudes that tend toward inhumanity, that's when demon spirits begin at various levels to take control of our life. And it's all bad. None of it's good. So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Deliver us from the evil." Jesus taught us to pray this way because it's by God's Spirit that we are set free. Jesus also said that deliverance from demon power is a particular sign of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you." Jesus wanted people to know. People were waiting for the kingdom of God. When is the kingdom of God going to come? Remember, John is in prison. John the Baptist is in prison. And he was the forerunner, and he has foretold the coming of Messiah. But then he gets arrested by Herod, and he's in prison, and he's wondering when this kingdom is going to come. This reign of God, this rule of God, this government of God, when is it going to come? And he begins to be a bit discouraged, and he's losing some faith in Jesus. Is this the one or not? And so he sends disciples to Jesus. Are you the one? John wants to know, are you the one or shall we look for another? And what does Jesus do? At that time, he healed the sick and he cast out demons. And he said, "Now, go tell John, blessed is he who is not disappointed in me." What is Jesus saying? He's saying, this is the kingdom of God. Right here, as people's humanity is restored and healed, as the sick recover health, as the sinner is forgiven, as those who are oppressed by demon power are set free, this is the kingdom of God coming among men. So Jesus placed a particular emphasis on setting people free from demon power as an indisputable sign that the kingdom of God had come. Now, I've learned over the years, though, that I need to be very careful with my language. And so I say things like oppressed by demon spirits. I've noticed that the English Standard Version has completely abandoned using the term demon-possessed. And they'll use the verb oppression or oppressed or something like that. And the Greek allows for that, certainly. But it's because this whole idea has been so sensationalized. Again, through popular concepts, medieval ideas, Hollywood, and that sort of thing, this whole idea of being set free or casting out demons is very sensationalized, and it should rather be normalized, and it should be a regular, normal, healthy part of vibrant church life. But not focusing on some sensational aspect and making it bizarre and all of that sort of thing. That doesn't help us. But for people to be set free from these spirits that gain access into our life through attitudes, ideas, practices that are inhumane and lead us away from the fullness of our humanity, to minister to people in the authority of Jesus' name and see them released from that grip upon their mind and their emotions and their spirit, that should be a normal part of vibrant church life. Amen. So tonight, what I want us to do is I want us to pray for a little bit, deliver us from evil. And then I especially want to pray for people. I want us to pray specifically for people who need to be delivered from the evil. And I'll have a few more things to say about that in a moment. But let's have the musicians back up here. Demons don't like music either. They don't like any kind of music. Back in the days, they used to tell me that they liked rock music, but they don't. They don't like any kind of music. They're just pathetic. Anybody ever tell you that? Well, those demons like rock music. No, it was just my grandma didn't like rock music. It wasn't having anything to do with demons. Hallelujah. I shouldn't pick on my grandma. That was a mistake there. Perry's a grandma. Can we still play loud music? Perry's never liked loud music too much anyway. Tell you what, why don't you stand up with me? Jesus said that the temple should be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Remember now, in Christ, the temple is not stone, brick and mortar, it's people. Which is not to say that a place of stone, or in our case of steel, cannot be sanctified and in fact become holy. In fact, it can. But it is not this place necessarily that confers holiness upon us, but we upon it. Because of its dedication, because of what we do here, the place becomes holy. But the essential temple of the new covenant is not some particular location or edifice or building or structure. It is the people of God gathered in the name of Christ to be a peculiar people belonging to Him. And we are to be marked by prayer. So let's take a little bit and pray. Father God, we draw near to You as a people of prayer. We begin the prayer that Jesus gave us to pray with these words: Our Father, who art in heaven. And at the outset of the prayer, we are reminded that there is another dimension. Even as we are reminded in the very beginning of the Bible, that in the beginning You created the heavens and the earth. We are reminded that there is the material, the physical, the earth, But there is that other realm, the spirit realm, the heavenly realm. And yes, the realm of angels and demons. Our Father in the heavens, we pray, deliver us from the evil. Lord, there is a spiritual evil. There is an evil that is independent and distinct from human action. It seeks to dehumanize. And dehumanizing very quickly becomes demonizing. The dehumanized quickly becomes the demonized. Whatever is anti-human is anti-Christ. It all is very connected. And so we cry out to you, deliver us from the evil. May no weapon formed against us prosper. May you be a shelter to your people. We submit ourselves, therefore, to you, the living God. We resist the devil. We don't want to walk in the ways of inhumanity. We don't want to walk in the ways of idolatry. We don't want to walk in the ways of immorality. We resist the ways of the demonic. And as we resist the devil, we thank you for the promise that he must flee. We want to be sober and vigilant, knowing that our adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking who he can eat up and devour and destroy. But we resist him firm in our faith, knowing that these same experiences are being accomplished by our brothers and sisters in all of the world. Just go ahead and put those words in your own mouth and begin to say them, maybe for a moment repeatedly out loud. Just begin to pray, deliver us from the evil. Deliver us from the evil. Deliver us from the evil that is present in this world. Deliver us from that darkness. Deliver us from the demonic.